comes from him. This is long and important enough that I, for whatever time that the clock allows me to, I want to share this with you. Unfortunately, we have come to this place. We have come to this time in our lifetime that we have been taught or have believed or have embraced a lot of misconceptions about the Lord. And one of the places where that manifests the most is in healing. I'm hoping that by now, this is a review for you. That Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he referring to Jehovah, he referring to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, send his word. His word is Yeshua. And healed, the word there is Rapha. So Jehovah sent Yeshua to do Rapha, but Jehovah's name is also Jehovah Rapha. And rescued them. The word is used typically as delivered, but it also means rescued. There was a rescuing from their graves, their destruction, their pits. Any kind of sickness actually enslaves me into feeling like I'm in a pit. And some sicknesses, some things make you feel like you're going to die or you are dying. I think it's appropriate that he came to deliver us from those things. To heal us and deliver us from the symptoms. Well, that's what that really speaks to me. Healing, Rapha, is not a function of modern teaching. Healing, Rapha, is his name, one of his names. And he sent Yeshua to do just that work, to Rapha us. Okay? Yeshua is no longer, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So, but we know, we who have put him in our heart, know that he also is in our heart. Yeshua is in on the inside. His Holy Spirit is on the inside. I think that that's how kind of most people present salvation, Yeshua in your heart. If Yeshua is in the heart, then the healer is in your heart. This is simple stuff, but we need simple stuff because we have to get rid of a lot of misconceptions. So, that did not come because we deserved it. That did not come because whatever you want to say it came from. It came because he sent him. It came because he decided to send Yeshua, and among his work was not just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from our own unrighteousness, but also to heal us. Isaiah 53 makes that very clear. Okay, by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 is the most messianic thing about Yeshua in all of the scripture, in the prophets. It talks about his stripes, and it talks about that he will be in silent. He will die for us. But the Isaiah 53 says two things. It speaks about our sin, our unrighteousness, our iniquities, but it also speaks about something else. And that something else that it really speaks about is the restoring of us to pre-fall, the fall. There was no sickness before the fall. So So we're in a fallen world. Sickness and disease have come because we are in a fallen world. I'm just going to read. Don't preach, Tony. If Yeshua is in you, then the healer is in you. The doctor's in there. The Rapha, the healer, the Rophe is in you. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, and he is, then the power that resurrected Yeshua from the grave is inside of you. That's very easily taught by Paul in the scripture. But here's the question. If the power resides in us that raised Yeshua from the dead, why don't we use that power? Why don't we use it? Why are we always trusting something else or someone else? Why do we use the Almighty as a backup? If the pill doesn't work, if the doctor doesn't work, if this doesn't work, then I'll have faith and maybe it'll work with him. You know, it's like it's last resort. It becomes a last resort. But I want to tell you that evidently it's not optional. It's not optional any more than it's optional that Yeshua came to heal our sins. We understand that really, really well. So we're not in the kingdom of darkness anymore. We have been bought and we understand that part. Sometimes called the atonement. We, correctly or not, we understand that. But did you understand that he had more than one thing in mind when he redeemed us? That he also redeemed us from the grave. He also redeemed us from it. You know, it's not optional. It's part of what he came to do. It doesn't come just a few people. We know by observation that many people claim to be healed, but they are not healed. And some die and continue to be sick. So how do we explain that? Because we feel like we have to explain it. Well, here's some of the things that I hear all the time. Well, maybe God doesn't will to heal every person. That's a misconception. Because the scripture says he sent his word and healed them. We arrive at excuses to explain why healing doesn't happen. I can't tell you all the reasons, but I'm convinced that Yeshua came to do what his father told him to do. He said that. And one of the things his father sent him for was to do healing. Whenever he provided healing himself in the Gospels, it was for everyone, for every disease, without exception. Furthermore, he didn't pray to the Father for them to be healed. He healed them. When he sent the apostles 10 by 10, when he sent the 72 also, he didn't say, go pray for the people so that they might be healed. Read what it says. It says, go heal them. You go heal them. Because you have with you the power of the Holy Spirit. My power and my authority go with you. Therefore, do this. They seem to understand it because they came back and reported it was working. Look, there were no exceptions. Yeshua didn't just decide all of a sudden, oh, you're from Gennesaret. You're a Gentile. I'm not doing that for you. Well, you're a leper. I can't even touch you. He touched them anyway. There's no exceptions to the healing that Yah sent Yeshua to do. The Almighty God heals all of our diseases. That is written in Psalm 103, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Benefits. What's the benefit? He forgives all our iniquity. Yes, Yes, that was what happened to me in 1978. And then it says he heals all your diseases. Somehow that's it, because that's the second thing mentioned that doesn't matter. That's not optional. It doesn't have anything in here optional. It says he heals all your iniquity, and he forgives your iniquity, and he heals your diseases. The forgiveness part we got, I don't think we got the healing part. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think that we have been trained to understand the healing part. He redeems your life from the pit. What's the pit? The pit is when I have something happening inside of me and I don't know what to do. And I feel like I'm trapped. Now, maybe choose to put faith in a drug. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Healing is about compassion, really. He satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. I didn't say that. He said that in the Psalms. Most people are not convinced about this. I'm trying to be convinced, okay? Because I haven't lived as if I was convinced to that extent. But the Holy Spirit right now is saying you have to be convinced. This is the time. If you're not convinced about my healing, if you're not convinced that the Lord wants everyone healed, then you're just asking for alms. Oh, please, won't you? The truth is already written in his word, and his word is truth. Okay? Jehovah's word is truth. The truth is already settled in heaven. It doesn't have to be judged. It's already settled in heaven. And he's not a man that should lie. So I want to ask a simple question that everybody here knows how to answer. Do you believe his word? I certainly do. I raise my hand. I certainly do. I believe his word. I believe his written word. Not, you know, I might be persuaded to believe something else or to try to do something, but when it comes to his word, there's no discussion. It's done. It's his word. It's done. The truth is that there are healing ministries. I'm not denying there's healing ministries. But you can't always be around somebody who has a healing anointing. There are healing anointings. Okay? I don't follow Benny Hinn, but I attended one of his things. And I saw with my own eyes. The good news is that you don't have to just depend on some healing ministry. The Almighty does heal through people that have an anointing. But is that the only way? We need to learn how to receive directly from him. What if we're the only ones left? Now what? It is not hard. It's super simple, right? Matter of fact, it's not my quote, but I love this quote. Matter of fact, okay? You've got to be trained to be as full of unbelief as we are. And we have been trained to be full of unbelief. We have. I'm sorry, but we have. I have. As we grow in faith, we've been told that God doesn't do this. He doesn't use the Holy Spirit anymore. He doesn't heal anymore. You know, all of that stuff is taken away what Yeshua paid for. And what we don't realize is every time something like that is being said, he's being stripped of something that belongs to him and his Father. And we can't. We can't go there. But I have gone there. It's good for the soul. You know, it's less people here, so it's good for the soul. We constantly deflected to human things instead of looking to God. We're constantly sidetracked, so to speak, into the what the human can and can't do, knows or doesn't know, and to take your eyes from Yeshua. Take your eyes from Jehovah. Take your eyes from Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. So we look to the doctor and to medication. Look, we're not against those things. If there's somebody that has liked ibuprofen in my life, I used to carry it in my briefcase. I stopped carrying it, but I used to carry it everywhere. However, no, I have to be thankful. I didn't say this. I'm quoting somebody. If it weren't for the doctors, all Christians would be dead. Most of us were raised to think that you're an absolute weirdo and you're a fanatic if you're trying to believe God for healing. People just look at you like, what kind of weirdo are you? You know how to pray for a headache? Go get some ibuprofen. The TV is full of that. You can take this and get rid of the headache. That's what you need God for. You get it? Do you get it? What do you need God for if you can do it yourself? If you can do it through science? If you can do it through somebody else? Our teacher today said, whenever something tries to take our eyes from him, it's a form of idolatry. And I am guilty. Most people feel that it's abnormal to be healed supernaturally. You make that statement, people go, wow, this is a miracle. This doesn't happen here. When people talk about getting healed, what they mean is that they went to the doctor, got a surgery, and a procedure, and they're getting better. If you say, no, I didn't have a procedure. I just prayed and asked the Lord to heal me, and I'm healed. Some people look at you like, are you some kind of a strange? Are you a science, Christian science person? And actually, they will stand against you. But let me repeat again. If you have living inside of you the Holy Spirit of God, the same power that resurrected Yeshua from the dead, if that's really inside, why don't we use that power? What's wrong with us? What if we did use it? Well, then maybe the doctors wouldn't have as much money as they do, right? And the economy of Gainesville would go away. We've got to get to a place that we do not compromise our faith, not just in what Sam teaches, but in everything else. And we need to not let what other people say, what society says, whether it's a doctor, the lawyer, the banker, okay, or allow anything in our mind that is contrary to what the Word says. We need to just say, this is what the Word says, that's it. That sounds very narrow-minded. That sounds very stupid. Come on, professor, with your PhD. Come on now. That's simple stuff. Yes, I'm admitting that my PhD, all it did was to let me understand that I know nothing. We've got to stand against unbelief. Let me get to the bottom line. Scripture states that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And you will condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. That is the heritage of Adonai's servants. Their vindication is from me. It's a declaration of Adonai. Well, we know the part that no weapon formed against me will prosper. How about the part that you will condemn every tongue that rises up against you? Did we ever read that? So when words come that are contrary to scripture, it makes you feel like you must be stupid. Why wouldn't you go to the doctor if you're having a heart attack? I'm not saying I'm there, but I want to tell you something. I'm going to declare the truth, and I want to go there. Words are weapons. The Rebbetzin had taught that, I don't know how many years, over and over, says it all the time. Words are weapons. Therefore, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's the heritage of Adonai. The scripture says death and life are in the control of the mouth, of the tongue. He who indulges in it will eat his fruit. Okay, so if we say how stupid we are all the time, then the scripture says you will indulge in it. Marilyn explains it a better way. He said, every time we say words like that, we give Satan the authority to come and bring that to pass in our life. So we are declaring our future. We are declaring that, no, have I said how stupid I am? Oh, yes, I have. I don't say that anymore. And I've repented for every time I said it in my life. Oh, no, that's not to happen anymore. So when you hear from whatever, medical profession, the internet, whatever, you're going to die. That's incurable. This can't happen. You're going to be like this the rest of your life. Okay, well, that's what they told his son. And he told all of us here. He didn't receive it. Well, that's good for him. That's good medicine for him. It should inspire us to go, we can't go there. Let me keep reading. Yeshua never failed to heal anybody. He never told anybody, you haven't learned your lesson. He didn't tell anybody, you need to suffer a little longer. He healed them all. You know, God anointed, it says, God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Ruach HaKodesh and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all that were all, healing all. This is in Acts 10:38. It says all. It's the same word. But religion has taught us really well. We didn't come from a vacuum, the majority of us here. We've come to some religion training somewhere. We think God will say no because we don't deserve it. Okay. Oh, I speak to me. I stand before the Almighty saying, I don't deserve this. I'm entitled to get this. The problem is that that's not what the Father decided. That's not correct. And sent his Son to do away with that. And I'm denying that. That's idolatry. Not one time. Not one time. Not one time. Yeshua said no to healing somebody. Most people don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. Another saying that I think is very valuable. Oh, I believe that. I you know, we always say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I've learned to say, I believe whatever the Bible says. I need to adjust my belief to what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what anybody else does or says or believes, because it is written, let God be true, even if every man is a liar, which is a very nice translation. Even if everyone is a liar, let God be truth. The issue is not what's happening to me. The issue is, what did God say? What does the Word of God say? If the Word of God says, this is what's going to happen, then this is what's going to happen. Well, I don't see it happening. It's still going to happen. In Isaiah 53, the place where Yeshua's ministry for sin is explained, it says, by his stripes we are healed. The thing about that is that He's not just talking about spiritual healing. Let me say that again. By his stripes we're healed. We have taken that and spiritualized it. So that all that means is spiritually I'm healed. That is a lie from the pit. That we are taking away something that the Father sent Yeshua to do. It's part of the redemption. Yeshua has healed you in the same way as surely and he's forgiven you. I don't think any one of us here go, well, I'm not forgiven. No, we know we are forgiven. Well, can we also add to that we're healed the same way? There is no sin that Yeshua wants you to bear. And God will never lead you into sin. Well, you're just as redeemed from sickness as you are from sin. That's right. And it says this in 1 Peter 2:24, where it puts it in the past tense. By those stripes, we were healed. It was done 2,000 years ago. What does that mean? That means we're not waiting on God to heal us. God is waiting on us to believe. We're not waiting on God to heal us. God is waiting on us to believe. It is not God who's controlling the flow of healing. It's us. And by the way, this is going to get very, very raw here. It is doubt and unbelief that stop the flow of healing. But in light of all those things, even with that much, don't you ever say, Tony Arroyo, don't you ever say, don't you ever ask, God, is it your will to? Is it God's will for everybody to be saved? It's written, right? We have to learn that. Now, well, Lord, do you want to save this one? That's like a stupid question. I already said so. We got that when it comes to evangelism. We need to get that when it comes to healing. In light of these things, we cannot say, God has said your will. It is his will. And if it's your will, then, Tony, align with God's will. Any way you cut it to say, well, maybe it's not God's will. Maybe the Almighty doesn't want to do this right now. I've heard it, I've said it. That is unbelief. That's unbelief. By the way, you can't, according to Yeshua, have belief and unbelief at the same time in the same vessel. It's impossible. Do you believe that? Right? It's used in another context. Bitter water and sweet water are the same place. But it's the same idea. Look, we can be say that we believe Yeshua can do all things, but he can't handle this sickness that I have. Most of you and I have been baptized in unbelief. We've been raised to believe that sickness is just a part of living. And according to most people's experience, that's true. In other words, immense wisdom is true. But that's not what the word teaches. The word doesn't teach that. The word doesn't teach that you have to live a life of sickness. It doesn't teach that. You have to get to know, and then if you know that beyond any shadow of a doubt, that James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There are things you submit to. You submit to the things of God, right? Sickness is not from God. Don't submit to sickness. I can't say it any better than that. And you resist the devil and he will flee from you. Not from God. That scripture that is not talking about God, it's talking about us. He will flee from you. God put his power and authority in you, and if you don't stand up and resist the devil, he won't flee. God and the devil have already met, and he lost. Yeshua won that. That's done. There's no occasion where this kingdom of darkness is coming against the kingdom of God thinking they're going to win. They already lost. They know it. The battle is not between Yeshua and the devil. The battle is between us and the devil. The devil comes against us and Yeshua has done his part. The word resist means to actively fight against, not give up. When you say, oh God, if it's your will, you can heal me. That's not resistance. That sounds like begging. I was taught to beg really good in Puerto Rico. That's pleading and begging. That's not taking your authority. Yeshua said, all power and authority is given to me. Therefore, you go and cast out demons. You go and preach to the poor. You do these things. Don't ask me. Go do it. I already commissioned you to do it. He said, you speak to the mountain and command the mountain to move. He didn't say, pray to God and ask God to move your mountain. That's not what it says. Pray to God about your mountain. Lord, do you think this is a mountain? Or no, he told us to speak to the mountain. And it will get up and walk. And if we have the faith of a mustard seed, it's about this big. We can. This is what it says. Whoever will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. Mark 11:23. The requirement is that we got to speak, and that's where the enemy comes to attack us. Don't say that. That's you putting God in the spot. You're putting you on the spot. In Acts 3, Peter and John went to pray. And someone stuck their arm. And Peter and John didn't say, I ain't got no money, but I'll pray for you. I have said that. But such as I have, give ID in the name of Yeshua Messiah, rise up and walk. There's an anointing on those two guys, like it was on those apostles after Yeshua resurrected. There's an anointing on them. And when they're present, lots of things happen. But I want to tell you something. I said something like this 2 weeks ago. The next day, there's no Peter and John. And that man that has never used those feet, has never used those muscles, he doesn't know how to get up from his bed. And he doesn't have Peter and John's arm to get him out. That means he has to. He has to train himself to say, I am healed. Do you think he doubted that he was healed? Then why do we? Why does healing manifest here? And why do we live here and go, well, you know, if it's God's will. You can't actively fight against sickness. You can't do it if you think that God is the one who gave it to you. Or that he allowed it. This is the nicest way to say it. Oh, he's allowing this. No. Meaning, I'm nothing but a hound dog. Is it that song? I ain't nothing but a hound dog, whatever. If you think God is using that sickness to teach you something, you're not going to get rid of it. Because you're going to say, well, no, that's God. God is using it to teach me something. Damn, that's by definition idolatry. Just saying. The most we can do in those situations is pray and beg. Which is what a lot of our prayer is about, begging God to do it. But for you, let me read this, for you to stand up against sickness and demand that sickness get out of your body and say, I refuse to be sick. That's a little different story. Most people won't even think that way. I can't do that, I said to myself a few weeks ago when Marilyn said that. I stood up in bed and I sat up for an hour or two. Well, were you sick after you refused it, Marilyn? Oh, it left. Well, you know, I watched her do it, and I said, how come I don't have the chutzpah? How come I don't sit up and say, I refuse this? It's not my inheritance. Confession is good for the soul. I learned something then, and I'm applying it now. I refuse to be sick. Most people don't even think that way. You can't do that. Will people say, I don't have any control over cancer? That's right. That's the reason you got cancer. Because you don't believe that you have the power, the resurrection power. And so when they say cancer, that's, oh no, that's not something that was around when the Holy Spirit came. So that one's not included on the list. Cancer is bigger than me. Well, the fact of the matter, it is bigger than your natural self, but is not bigger than your spiritual self. On the inside, I repeat again, I've known this since 1978, that the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit that was in Yeshua is in me. Why haven't I used that power? What is wrong with me? It's more than enough to get me well. If I have this power on the inside of me, I need to recognize that what I have is nothing less than the resurrection power. And what does the devil come try to do? He tries to steal it from me. He tries to tell me in my mind, no, you don't have that. You know, come on, look around you. And we start listening. Oh, did he say you're going to die? That sound like what he said to Eve? You're not going to die. So, engineer, make a test. Test to see if you eat the fruit and don't die. Well, what happens? You ate the fruit and you died. Contest over. Okay? I am going to stand up. I made up my mind. I'm going to stand up and rebuke and resist and fight until I die. When we do that, the devil and sickness will eventually flee from you. Because that's what's written in the word. Amen. But the average believer, I got this from a Christian believer, okay? So don't, I'm not getting down on anybody. The average believer says, oh God, I'm nothing. Oh God, I have nothing. Would you please heal me? You're denying what he said when you do that. You're taking something that belongs to him. When you do that, Sam, that's idolatry. You aren't taking your authority. You aren't using the power he gave you. But what I'm trying to say to us is he already paid for the healing. He already paid for it. It's fully paid for every single person. I don't care what the doctor says. That sounds... I'm trying to get there, man. Let's just be totally honest with you. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to train my spirit to say this is what God said. Everything else can just go to the side. I need to become adamant. I'm not putting up with it. I've been in that fight for weeks now. I'm showing up. I have to say that there is that I've been fighting for some weeks on now. It's not there. But it comes back, and I'll talk about it in a minute. It wants to come back. I am healed, and I demand the sickness get out of my body, is now my prayer. No many people will do that because that means you're on the spot. If nothing happens, you're on the hook. But when you say, God, if it's your will, and then nothing happens, you're not on the spot. If nothing happens, it's God. If nothing happened, well, it's God. It's God didn't. And we got what I've been taught all my life in Christianity. See, not many people are going to enjoy my teaching today. Obviously, they probably didn't enjoy my first part either. Okay, fine. Got it. But the fact is that the teacher said we need to take away the excuses. It's convenient to say, God works in mysterious ways. You never know what God's going to do. Or it must not have been God's will to heal you. That's why you're sick. The Bible tells us what God's will is. We don't have to guess. If you listen today, God's will is for you to be healed. The leper said, if you will, Yeshua, you can heal me. Yeshua said to the leper, I will, and healed him. Is he a respecter of persons? If he could heal the leper, he can heal you. He can heal me. I'm all done. Let me read this. But you've got to stir yourself up. Or what happens? The unbelief is like a leak in the boat. And it starts to sink. And the next thing you know, you're in the bottom. That is what has happened to me and to many of us here. Most of us have sunk to the bottom. Most of us are just super passive. Looking as if God has no power. So we pray, would you please move? Would you please heal the sick? Would you please open the eyes of the blind? You said you would. It's a good prayer, except for the would you please part. Because that part denies part of the deity. Therefore, it classifies in what Sam talked about today. We need to get up and resist the devil. And you do that by actions. You have to act. For us to sit here and be passive during this revival that's coming is just laying our hands down and letting the devil continue to have what he wants. So get up and do something. We need to get up and do something. We need to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Amen. That's it. It's written. If you've been listening Here's what I want to leave you with. I believe, I have proven to you that it's in the Word of God that He wants you to be well. Even today. So let's appropriate it. The same closing that I've done for this series. The Word was sent. Jehovah sent His Word. Well, He did send Him. His name is Yeshua. Psalm 107, 20, 103, 1 through 5. It's good medicine. Meditate, memorize it. Be able to quote it. He sent His Word, Yeshua, and healed me and delivered me from my pit. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He forgives all Tony's iniquities, and He heals all of Tony's sicknesses. Let the truth of His word wash your mind, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm suggesting, among the all other things that we're doing to learn about His word, also include the ones that help you be well. So when the Spirit of God moves in here, and peradventure, somebody has the anointing, like 2 weeks ago, lay hands on somebody, they recover. That it doesn't get stolen. I'm here to say that we need training on not letting the enemy steal from us. And we got to get adamant and say, whatever. There were enough people spoke here. One in particular, his son, he said, I'm not doing well in some areas. He admitted he's not doing well in some areas, but he didn't say he's not healed. For one thing, he's walking and leaping and in laying on his face before the Lord and blowing the shofar. You all remember? Well, he's doing something. What about us? You know what I'm guilty of? That I hear such testimony and agree with it. I'm guilty. Serve notice. I'm not agreeing anymore. Either God did or He didn't. There were healings of hearing that took place here. They were. As far as I'm concerned, those people are healed now. There were some others we prayed for and the healing didn't manifest. As far as I'm concerned, the healing will manifest. Why is it not happening? What am I saying today? What am I saying is, perhaps it's not happening because the person who received the healing is not ready to stand up and say, I'm healed, regardless of what's happening in me. I'm not agreeing with that prayer anymore. Is it going to ever happen here? If it never happens here, then it never happens here. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to function in as if it's going to happen here. And we're going to have the greatest revival Gainesville has seen right here. And He's going to use people like you and me to do it. And we're going to be first partakers of that. I want to ask you again, has there been any miracles around here in the last 4 weeks or 5 weeks? All right, you can conclude. That's a bunch of lunatics. They were just, okay, they saying something and it's not true. Well, I refuse to let the enemy put any negative on that. Any more that when somebody confesses Yeshua, I get adamant with that person. Well, my sins, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I said, did you pray the prayer? Did you say Yeshua come into my heart? Yes, I did. Then he did. We are not putting up with no, well, do I need to get saved again? Well, perhaps we do, but that's not what I'm talking about here. This is not going to be popular, evidently. Let's stand and be dismissed. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we believe your word. Simple. We believe your word. Help thou our unbelief. Help us, Lord, to get rid of the unbelief that become a matter of everyday vernacular. We even say it. Help us get rid of that. Help us to have the mindset of Yeshua. It's written in the Bible, even though he slay me, I will still serve him. That's the mindset I want to have. So, Father God, in Yeshua's name, I pray that your word come, that your kingdom come, and your word come, and let it germinate in us and produce good fruit. Lord, let us be the people that want to say yes to you and do what you said. We don't have it all right. Sam doesn't have it all right, and I don't have it all right. I'm human. So if I offended you today, I ask you to consider going to the Lord and forgiving me. I need to say that every week. Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for your congregation. I thank you for people here that have a commitment to your word. Truth seekers. And the truth is your word, so we're word seekers. We seek your word. We want to apply it and live by it. Everything else is secondary. Thank you, Lord. I pray that everyone would have a great week. And bring us back again in Yeshua's name.